Welcome back into the For the Love of Sports podcast. I am your host, Blake Hatfield, joined as always by my beautiful girlfriend, Sophia Schubert, and as Sam Ellinger would say,
we're back!
That's right, we are back. It has been a couple of weeks since we've been with you, but we're here. A lot of travel, a lot of business taken care of, but Sophia, we have returned. How have you been recently?
Yes, I'm so glad to be back. I've been good. I've been really good. I've been traveling some, went down to Austin, Texas, practiced a little bit. But yeah, I've been staying busy. How are you?
I'm doing just fine, Yeah, I went to Daytona last weekend. We'll talk about that here in a little while. But yeah, it was a good learning experience for me, a good business trip. But I'm happy to be back with the audience and feel bad for taking a few weeks off. But we got everything straightened out. Got some new technology we're using, so should be back better than ever. And yesterday, you were busy promoting your upcoming season on the Symmetra Tour's Instagram.
Yeah, so on Monday, I did a little takeover for Symmetra Tour. That is at Road2, the number 2, LPGA. Go follow. Basically, I was just like taking everyone throughout my day with me and showing them what I do on a daily basis. With working out, recovery, practice, what I eat, like just things like that, drills that I do, just to show like how I prepare for my season coming up and for tournaments. And it was a lot of fun. I like tried to keep it serious, but also tried to keep it kind of fun and lighthearted. And it was good. So go to check it out. It's probably off their story now, but it is saved to the highlights. So you can either find it through my Instagram at the Sophia Golf or go to Road to LPGA.
Yeah, and it's right there at the top of the page. You stayed busy. I know that for a fact. Yes. It seems like every time I would refresh the page, you were uploading photos or videos of your day from workouts to recovery to playing with a couple friends.
Yeah.
To even dinner. So great job on that.
Thank you. I even snuck a little video of my little dog in there, little Dormy.
Little Dorm.
My little doodle. So anyway, yeah, it was good. I tried to like, you know, when you're going to take someone throughout your day, you don't want to take them throughout like just little bits and pieces. You want to show them everything pretty much. So it was a lot of hard work though. I feel like I did a pretty good job, but oh my gosh, I don't know how people do that on a daily basis.
Yeah. Like I said, you were on it a lot. And I think it's good because unfortunately there is a stigma around professional athletes that, oh, they've got it made. They've got it so easy. They get to go play a sport for a living. Well, on the back end of that, there is so much more that you have to do on a daily basis. And this is your off season. This isn't even tournament time for you. So I thought that was a good window for everyone to see, hey, from 8 in the morning to probably 9, 10 o'clock at night, I'm going full speed ahead.
Oh, yeah. It was a full 14-hour day. I mean, start to finish. And, you know, most days aren't that long, but they're pretty long, especially when you're on the road and you're just going, and you got to fit everything in. I mean, because there's more than just the golf. There's so much more to it. There's the business side of it and the preparation. And so it's a lot of hard work. So I was happy to be able to, like, show people that. A lot of people don't know. A lot of people do. But it's just nice to be able to show that to people sometimes.
Right. Yeah. So again, great job on that at Road to LPG on Instagram if you want to check it out, or through Sophia's page at the Sophia Golf. Not a lot going on in the sports world the last week. The Astros dominating the headlines with their cheating scandal, and the MLB commissioner sticking his foot in his mouth. You also had pitchers and catchers reporting to spring training, the NBA All-Star game. Nobody cares about that. So we'll get to some actual sports stories here in just a second, but I was watching the television before we started recording and I saw a preview for the new movie, The Way Back with Ben Affleck coming out. I think it's March 6th, whatever, a couple weeks from now. And it got me thinking, it's a movie about a guy struggling through life who gets called to be a high school basketball coach. And it's kind of a redemption story, very common in the sports genre, but that got me thinking about good sports movies and what it takes to be a good sports movie. So when you hear, or when somebody would ask you, what is a great sports movie? What's the first answer that comes to your mind?
See, I have a few. Like I have serious movies that are historical, like true stories. So I think like that, there's that side to like good sports movies. And then there's the fun, entertaining, like kind of dumb, stupid ones. I don't know. I would say like going more on the serious side, I think of some golf movies like The Greatest Game Ever Played with Shia LaBeouf, where he's playing this guy named Francis Wumet. And it's set way back in, I don't know what year that is, but.
Long time ago, black and white.
Yeah, it was a long time ago, but that's a great movie. Just, you know, it shows how he kind of came from nothing and worked his way up and was a great golfer and didn't have a whole lot of support, but then kind of proved himself. And anyway, that's a great story. I don't know. Then you look at like the other side, the funny movie, and you have like, Happy Gilmore, Caddyshack, Ricky Bobby, those.
Right.
And those are great sports movies too.
So it's a combination of things that make a good sports movie in your mind.
Yeah.
I agree with
that. I mean, it's got to be like, it's got to bring out some type of emotion. And you've got to like feel something.
Yeah, whether it be, you know, sympathy for a character or... you gain knowledge of something or you just have a good laugh. Like some of my favorite sports movies are just comedies. Caddyshack, Happy Gilmore, like you mentioned, Talladega Nights, Waterboy. Rookie of the Year is one of my favorite movies. I don't know if you've ever seen that one.
Yeah, that's a good one with the kid.
Henry, Rowan, Gardner,
Oh my gosh.
What a great movie that is.
That reminds me, kids and sports movies, Sandlot.
Oh, what a good movie that is.
Such a good movie.
You play ball like a girl.
Then A League of Their Own. That's a good one.
Yeah,
that's like historical, but it's also funny. You're gonna lose. The little boy. I love that part.
Yeah, I've heard you say that to me a couple times.
Yeah.
We're not going to talk about it. But yeah, I agree with you. I think it needs to, I like both. I like the serious. I like the comedies. I like the documentaries. ESPN 30 for 30s. I don't know if you would call those sports movies.
I mean, they could be. Yeah.
But those are fantastic.
Those are great.
Remember the Titans is probably one that is still my favorite, even though I've watched it probably 118 times throughout my life. I can quote every line. Something about that movie. I still get choked up when Gary Bertier has his accident. So
Did you ever see We Are Marshall?
You know, I have never seen that movie.
Oh my gosh. Talk about emotional. That's a great movie.
That story is incredible. I know it's got your boy, old Matt McConaughey in there.
It does. I forgot.
So.
Oh my gosh.
No, it's on my bucket list. It's just for some reason, and this could be one of my rants, but. We'll get to rants here in a little while. I feel like Netflix and some of these streaming services don't do sport movies justice. Like they don't have a good selection of them to choose from. And I think that's something they're missing. So if you're listening, Netflix CEOs,
come on,
get
Netflix.
On it.
Okay. So what are we listed our favorite, but if you had to pick like least favorite, what would you say? I think you're going to say.
Well, least favorite's hard. Because there's a lot of sports movies I just plainly don't like. How about I give you an overrated one?
Okay.
Okay, so this one's going to get me in trouble.
Because I know what he's going to say. Because he said it many times.
You do. I've ranted.
And it's actually one of my favorites. I didn't list it. But it's one of my favorites.
Well, you're in the majority here. I understand that. I go against a lot of people. This movie is highly regarded, but I cannot stand it. It's The Blind Side. I know it's a great story. I understand that. But something
about
that
movie. And
Sandra
Bullock is so good in it. Such a good movie.
But it just something about that movie is just too over the top for me.
Like
and
what?
I know that one of my favorite movies is about a 13-year-old playing in the major leagues.
Yeah.
I get it. That's over the top as well. But something about this story and how they kind of twisted the narrative and exaggerated on parts.
But you kind of have to do that. Even with like, I don't know, when you're telling a true story, you kind of have to fib on a little.
You have to put some theatrical elements into anything that you do for movies. But when you look at it and you have this coach who apparently knows nothing until Sandra Bullock comes over and tells him, talks to him. And then that guy goes on to coach college football.
Yeah.
Something's weird about that.
Yeah, that's...
That drives me crazy a little bit. I know my man Philip Fulmer's in there. I know Coach O's in there. Nick Saban is the LSU coach. I get it. Great cast. Tim McGraw, he does a great job in it as well.
Mm-hmm.
The first time I watched that movie, I said, okay, this isn't bad. But after that, I'm just like, I don't like this. This sucks.
Well, we're never going to watch it together.
That's fine because I'll just make comments the whole time and then it'll turn into stuff. And we just won't, let's just not touch on it. You'll probably say something that offends me here, but what is your least favorite?
Or overrated, whatever you want to say. This is hard for me because honestly, I've enjoyed almost the majority of sports movies that I've seen. But I was like looking for sports movies online earlier and I saw Air Bud, okay? And I don't know. I mean, the dog's cute, but it's just, no.
Did you just say that Air Bud is overrated?
Yeah.
Air Bud, the dog who can play soccer, basketball, football, baseball, any sport that
you put
in front of him, that the dog succeeds, you're going to say Air Bud's overrated?
It's not entertaining.
Oh, when the little dog is playing basketball and the kids hollering for him and the clown's trying to get him to come over to him and the dog takes off sprinting for the kid, that doesn't just make y'all warm and fuzzy inside?
No. I like the dog, though.
Obviously not.
Okay, well, we'll just agree to disagree.
Well, let's not just skip over this part real quick. Mm. Air Bud is a generational talent. Air Bud is the canine Bo Jackson.
Oh, my gosh.
We preach to these kids in high school and growing up nowadays, don't specialize in one sport. You need to be a multi-sport athlete to develop all your body and all your muscles.
I agree with that, though.
You know who is a multi-sport athlete? Air Bud.
Yeah,
look to Air Bud for inspiration. My word to the wise.
Okay.
All right, we're going. Well, Air Bud.
Moving on, let's talk about some golf.
Let's talk about it. So last week, Genesis Invitational at Riviera Tigers Tournament got elevated to an invitational status to join Arnie's and Jack's tourney. Pretty cool. Love that golf course. Visually stunning. The 10th hole there, drivable par 4, one of the toughest holes in golf still, though. Just a good classic golf course. Adam Scott is your winner. First time he had won in 3 years. That kind of surprised me.
Yeah, I honestly thought it had been longer than that. I don't remember the last, I don't remember the last tournament he won. Was it in Australia?
That I'm not sure of. I felt like he won last year, though. But
really?
I was wrong. Yeah.
I don't know. They just don't show him a lot, I feel like.
Yeah, they don't. It's, I think a lot of his struggles or lack of winning recently came from the whole, anchoring ban and putting and how much he relied on that. Now, I know he's still using a long putter, so I don't know what he's changed.
Yeah, he is. It's a really long putter, and I didn't pay that much attention to it. But I was glad to see that he won. I love Adam Scott. I mean, who doesn't? I feel like a lot of the girls would agree with me. I've always been an Adam Scott fan. Except for the big pants that he's been wearing. I don't know if he was wearing them in this tournament, but...
No, they were more classical.
Okay, good. Good.
On Sunday, everyone else kind of faltered.
Yeah.
Adam just kind of stayed the course. Made clutch putt after clutch putt on the back nine there. And yeah, just kind of persevered through everybody else's struggles. One person that struggled was Rory McIlroy. Recently awarded the number one title in golf for the first time since 2015 or 16. Kind of hard to believe on that as well. But something about Rory recently has kind of irked me. He seems like he's in the final group, week after week after week on Sunday, but he can't get in the winner's circle.
Yeah, that's, I think that'll change though.
He has to be due at some point.
He's got to be due. Yeah, he's just got to find whatever it is that's holding him back on that last day. It I don't know if it's mental, probably is, but I mean, I think once he gets past that, like he'll start winning because he's putting himself into contention.
Oh yeah. He's a top five machine.
Yeah. And then you just have to find a way to grind through and finish that.
Right. And I mean, he's got the talent to do.
Yeah.
I mean, his best is going to beat 99.9% of every other guy's best out there.
Yeah.
So yeah, he's going to be the Masters favorite, him and Tiger probably. Mm-hmm. But until he actually completes the marathon of the 72-hole tournament and, you know, holds on to the lead and holds the trophy up, I've got questions about him.
Really?
I mean,
I can see that. I mean, he's won how many times?
A ton.
So
I mean, he's the number one golfer. He's the number one in the world.
Yeah, but he's number one for a reason.
Right. So, and that's his talent's there.
That's with, you know, not finishing and not winning when he could have. But yeah, I mean, that's probably a mental thing, which at that level, like, you got to figure out how to overcome that. And that's so hard. That is so hard. But he's got the game and he'll do it.
So, being a professional golfer, how do you keep those thoughts from popping up?
You just have to find a way to either think about other stuff. You have to think about the positive and be like, I've prepared for this. I have everything I need to do this. Like, just keep playing one shot at a time. Keep playing. Don't think about the end result. Because you can't do anything. You know, you can't win the tournament on the first, second, or third day. You can lose it. But you have to keep grinding. And I think a lot of it has to do with preparation. Like, you have to be mentally tough. And for me, like, I work on that in all parts of my life. And I feel like that translates over into my golf. Just being mentally tough and keeping that focus until the very end. And it's hard. It's really hard, but you have to find a way to do it. I mean, it's Rory McIlroy. He knows how to do that. So,
right. And as you were talking about that, it kind of led me to think, you know, also how much, and every golfer is going to be different,
mm-hmm.
but how much do you have to rely on your caddy to kind of say something to you to keep you focused? And him and his longtime caddy, who they, you know, went through a lot of success together, they've kind of split ways after, I think it was 2018, after the 2018 season. So the last year and a half, he's had a new caddy. So maybe that's part of the growing pain between those two.
Yeah, it could be. Just them getting to know each other and the caddy getting to know Rory's tendencies. But I'm sure, you know, Rory will tell him what he wants, what he doesn't want. And yeah, it's nice to have a caddy that knows your personality and knows when to say something, when to not say something, and to kind of help you, you know, relax or regain your focus or whatever you need. So I think a caddy is important. I mean, a caddy that can make or break you at mm-hmm. that level, though, these guys, I mean, they have really good caddies and they know.
Right.
They know their player.
Yeah, and if you're going to be that, you know, if you're going to be a Rory McIlroy, Brooks Koepka, Adam Scott, mm-hmm. any of these guys that are just world class, they're going to have the right guy. There's no, you know.
Yeah.
There shouldn't be a really filling out period between the two. CBS has been doing coverage for golf for however many years. And apparently they're still filling things out between each other. Sunday's golf coverage on CBS had a lot of holes in it. I don't know if you got to watch any of it. I know you were busy.
I watched the very end that they were just showing Adam, really.
So throughout the day, there's always going to be that time period after the Golf Channel coverage to CBS where there is no live golf show. That's fine. That's mm-hmm. fine. Catch us up when you come on at 3 o'clock, 2 o'clock, whatever time it is. Well, CBS, a couple things. One, they showed the complete wrong scoreboard of an LPGA event, just completely wrong.
Oh, no.
Then Harold Varner III, on the 10th hole that we talked about earlier, he's tied for the lead, tees it up, and he hits his 3-wood 129 yards. 129 yards.
Did he top it?
He topped his 3-wood, never showed it.
What?
They never showed it. He had 170-something yards into the pin. They showed that shot and said, oh, he must. And I think one of the commentators said, oh, he must have laid up to a weird yardage.
Oh,
you don't
my
lay
gosh.
Up on a 310-yard par 4. So finally, 90 minutes after he hits the shot, I think he's on 15 or 16, they go back and show it. Max Homa, great follow on Twitter, by the way. Max Homa.
Great follow, yeah.
He was in contention, tied for the lead, one back, two back, whatever it was. They showed one shot of his on Sunday. They showed Ricky Fowler, who wasn't even in the tournament. They showed two of his highlights from previous years. It was bizarre.
That is weird. It's like they didn't know what they were doing. That's so weird. I mean, golf is the hardest sport to cover on TV. Yeah, I get it. But like, huh, that is weird.
It was strange and very noticeable. And the cameras were having a tough time following the golf ball. And yeah, something was off.
Like they got a new crew or something.
Exactly. Finishing up the Genesis Invitational, I'm just going to say this. Phil Mickelson missed the cut yet again.
Since we didn't have a podcast last week, it seems like you're forgetting Pebble Beach.
Pro-Am.
Doesn't matter. He came in like third or something.
I could have come in third if I had played in that event. It's a Pro-Am.
You could have.
It's not a real tournament. It's not a real tournament.
Don't say that.
It's not. You got Larry the Cable Guy playing in it.
First of all, no. Okay. That's totally different. They have their own little division.
Ray Romano.
Don't they have like their celebrity division and then like the professional division?
Well, I mean, they've got separate score. I mean, like you've got the teams and then you got the individual score, obviously. But it's a weird environment. You're only playing against one other competitor. You're out having a good time. Wayne Gretzky, Dustin Johnson, Jake Owen, and Jordan Spieth. Those four play together every single year, the first three rounds. It's a quirky tournament. It doesn't count.
Well, he still came in third, I think.
Well, in my book, not a made cut. So,
but a good check.
Well, yeah, absolutely. It's a good check. A lottery winner is a good check. Doesn't mean they earned it.
I'm pretty sure he's earned it. But okay, I'll give you that. I cannot wait for the first technical cut for him to
make. He's going to win the Masters and just
he's going to win something. He's going to have that Yeti cup with whatever he drinks in there. Coffee, I feel like. Oh, I don't know.
God, can you imagine how many
he's going to look at you
up.
And he's going to give you a thumbs up.
God, ugh. Makes me want to gag. Moving on.
Gag all the way to the bank, Phil.
What a tool.
Moving on. Okay. Let's talk about some other. Well, no, hold on. We're forgetting. This is something I wanted to mention in here. But some sad news this past week. Mickey Wright, she won 82 times on the LPGA, won 13 majors. She passed away at the age of 85, I think. And that was really sad to see. I fortunately had the honor. When I played the USAM, it was played at San Diego Country Club, and she was a member there, very loved San Diego. And when I was there, she actually signed a little magazine for me and said congrats, and that was pretty cool. But what a legend. Like, oh my goodness. I don't know if you've seen her golf swing. There's been videos on Twitter of her golf swing, and some of the greats have said like she had the best golf swing. And she did.
I mean, it was textbook in every single manner. I mean, you can watch that for hours and just be amazed by it. But yeah, a true legend of the game. And yeah, you shared that note and mm-hmm. photo last night on Twitter. And is very sad news. Very, very sad news for the LPGA and women golfers all over the planet.
Yeah, she did so much for women in golf. And I would say golf in general. I mean.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
My goodness, men or women, that's incredible. 82 wins. Wow.
Yep. Mickey Wright, Sam Snead, and Tiger Woods.
Yeah. If you get the chance, go, I guess, YouTube or Google her and listen to her talk about golf and playing as a pro and listen to her talk about her golf swing. It's really cool and you'll learn a lot. It's really cool. But anyway.
Yeah. Sad news for Mickey right there. And thoughts to all her family and everyone that was close to her. Mm-hmm. I did see a cool story. We'll kind of end on a positive note with the whole Mickey Wright. I kind of saw a cool story. It was some event. I think it was in Texas. she was playing against some men, and everybody came in and like, yeah, I shot 66. That's the course record and all that. And from the same tees, Mickey came in with a 63 and was just like, yeah, that was pretty good. Pretty good round. It was just, I thought that was just a funny way to, you know, the, her quotes in it. I'll have to share the story through the Twitter account at For Love Sports. But yeah, it was a funny story. It made me laugh and kind of gave you a glimpse into what her personality would have been like.
Yeah. That's awesome.
So moving on, like I said, I just got back from Daytona earlier this week. Went down there for business. Very cool. We won't talk a lot about NASCAR on the podcast, but I thought it was a pretty cool experience since it is their Super Bowl. Massive, massive track.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, it's so cool.
As modern day on the outside as you can get. Pretty cool. Learned a lot about, you know, my business down there, and seeing the fans' excitement was really good for a sport that the perception's has been in decline in recent years. To see a sold out crowd of over 180,000 wow. people was really good. Unfortunately,
that's how many
the race
holds.
Well, that's how many the stands hold, and then you know you got to count the people in the infield.
Yeah.
And so it was an incredible crowd, a lot of excitement. Unfortunately, the race got postponed on Saturday or on Sunday due to rain, and then they raced again on Monday night, and Denny Hamlin wins his second Daytona 500 in a row.
Wow.
The major story there is Ryan Newman and his horrific crash. Kind of gives a glimpse into how these guys put their life on the line every time they get into a race car. One of the greatest of all time, Dale Earnhardt, passed away at Daytona, and unfortunately, Monday night, I think the perception was that Ryan Newman was seriously injured.
Well, just by the looks of the wreck itself.
Oh, absolutely.
I don't
care
how safe those cars are. My goodness. That was scary.
Yeah. Head first into the wall and then flip mm-hmm. over and then mm-hmm. get hit in the driver's side window.
Yeah.
Brutal. But update on Ryan as of today, released from the hospital and doing great. So God works in mysterious ways and was definitely protecting over him.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
I will say this. I have a disclaimer to make. I did say that I was out on the Cubs.
No. Okay. No, you can't even talk about the Cubs now.
I can't.
I don't want to hear it.
I said I would not talk about the Cubs until they did something good.
Did you say that or did you? I thought it was more like I'm not a Cubs fan anymore.
No, I'll always be a Cubs fan. I said I will not say something until they do something good. They have done two things good.
What did they do?
Well, pitchers and catchers reported last week, kind of got into the groove of things, kind of got the little heartbeat going, doo-doo, doo-doo. So I was like, okay, we'll see how things go. Then the position players started reporting throughout the week. And then the other day, I think it was Monday, I'm on Twitter and I'm scrolling. And I see a quote from Chris Bryant. The question in the press conference says, Chris, what was David Ross's initial speech like as the manager of the Chicago Cubs to the team? David Ross, World Series legend from 2016. Now back in his first season as the manager of the Chicago Cubs.
Wow.
Chris Bryant's answer, it was awesome. It made me want to run through a brick wall. And my little heart just pitter-patter, just doo-doom, 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 doo-doom. And I'm like, oh, I'm back in. And then today, videos are coming out of the boys playing live BP. And Chris Bryant's hitting leadoff for the Chicago Cubs. And my heart about exploded. I'm all the way back in. The Cubs are back. I'm back. 2020 World Series, here we come.
I don't know what to say.
No,
I do know what to say. I think that there should be a rule that from now on, like you said it right now, that you are all in for the Cubs, right?
I'm all the way back. I got my alarm clock as go Cubs go.
You cannot say ever again on here that you're like out for the Cubs.
Can I say I'm down on the Cubs?
No.
I believe I can. We'll discuss. we'll negotiate
we'll
the contract.
We'll discuss later. That. Okay. Gosh, that didn't last long, did it?
Cubs are back.
Yeah.
I feel like you could rant about my hot and cold sports takes.
That should be my rant every week, but it won't
that'd
be.
Get monotonous.
Yeah, a little bit, but you know, just it'd be justifiable. So,
we all know that there are things throughout our daily life that get under our skin, that kind of irk us in ways. And it's just good to not harness that frustration, that anger. It's good to let it out, to share it with people.
Yeah.
So what has happened or what has come up in your life the past week or so that you'd like to get off your chest?
Well, I'm not going to name names or anything, but...
Can I name names?
You can, yeah, but I'm not going to. So, you know people that are just like loud?
Yes.
And that like to hear themselves talk even when they're not, even when they don't know what they're talking about. Yeah. And I'm not talking about you.
Okay. I was about to get out of.
No. I'm not talking about you. You most of the time know what you're talking about.
Oh, I've got somebody that comes directly to my mind.
Yeah. Well, I'm the, okay. I hope it's not me.
No.
I'm going to say, like, I would say myself, I'm a quiet person most of the time. Mm-hmm. Like, and if I don't know what I'm talking about or something, I'm just not going to say anything. You know, it's better to stay quiet sometimes than stick your foot in your mouth. Well,
yeah, feet then, can't be,
so. Today I was somewhere and this man just kept talking. And I'm trying to practice. Okay. And just focus on what I'm doing. And he was telling this kid over and over again what to do. And I'm not going to say what he was telling him because it was just wrong though. And I texted you actually. And I was like, this guy's telling this kid to do this. Anyway, and he was loud the whole time. And you could tell this guy just wanted to hear himself talk. Like it didn't matter what he was saying. He just wanted to hear himself talk. Anyway, I'm going to keep it short, but that's my little rant. That's a little pet peeve of mine, and it was just slightly annoying.
So
all I'm going to say is if you're not 100% sure, if you aren't really an expert on what you're talking about, maybe just don't say it.
Would it be better if he said it in a lower tone?
Yes.
Okay.
No, actually, I don't think so. But yeah. So I know I kind of got off topic there. I said my rant was about loud people. But it's also about like loud people that just think they know.
It's a combo deal.
It's a combo. Yeah. Yeah. Maybe if he were quieter, that would have made it a little better.
Been easier so for loud, you to no overlook.
One, everyone was looking and it's like just, dude, I get it's a public place.
Bruh.
But
come
just
on.
Tone it down a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good rant. I agree with that.
Okay.
I have one. I'm going to save it for next week. No, I'm going to go with my original one. I'll use the second one next week. I got a lot to rant about if you don't know. If you know me, you know that I'm normally a pretty quiet person. It's kind of easy going. So this is just an outlet for me to get it all out. My rant is a little more corporate.
Oh.
It deals with corporations. It deals with these people who are on the television corrupting the minds of the youth.
Mm.
And no, I'm not talking about these stupid political ads that are constantly on my television. I'm talking about these restaurants who are putting commercials out at 11:30 after midnight of their delicious entrees. Stop.
Oh my gosh.
I don't want to be laying in bed at 12 o'clock at night, not being able to sleep and see a delicious Outback steak come sizzling on my screen. I don't want to be tossing and turning, trying to go back to sleep and some Red Lobster Cheddar Bay biscuits pop up on my television.
Or some Olive Garden breadsticks.
Oh, all you can eat all night long. Because
hey, you know, I have a solution.
I don't want to hear the solution because I know it's going to have to deal with me just going to sleep earlier. Just
turning the TV off.
But I believe there should be a law where restaurants cannot broadcast their services while they're not open. So if they close at 10 o'clock at night, their commercials are done at 10 o'clock at night and they come back on at 12 o'clock in the afternoon
when you're not watching TV though.
It's only fair. If you can't go and get their food at that time,
yeah,
then they don't need to be. That is false advertising.
Or just like go to sleep earlier.
I tried to, but I have all this stuff that I want to rant about running through my mind.
That's pretty good.
So I'm watching.
That's a good one. That's
there.
Not. That's something I've never thought about. But yeah, that's so true.
Because I lay in bed and that filet mignon pops on my screen, and what do I do? I want to eat a filet mignon, so I come in my kitchen and
you make a filet?
Filter around looking for filet mignon. I don't have filet mignon in my kitchen. I have Nutty Buddies. I have oatmeal cakes.
So you eat them?
Yes, that's what's wrong with the obesity in America. Take care of that, and then put that on your political ads, and maybe I'll watch.
Or you could turn the TV off and go to sleep and like.
We've discussed that.
Not eat bad.
Speaking of eating, let's move to five questions here.
Okay.
I just got back from a road trip. Mm-hmm. You're about to partake in a lot of road trips as you move throughout your Symmetra Tour season. Shout out first tournament, March 6th through 8th in Winter Haven, Florida. One key element of a good road trip is the road trip snacks.
That's the best part. That's like a make or break.
Absolutely. Whether you're driving, whether you're riding, you have to have snacks. What would be your number one go-to road trip snack?
I only have one. Well, I mean, I snack on other things, but my favorite, and I hope my trainer is not listening to me because he would be very disappointed in me, but, you know, road trip calories don't count.
Nope.
According to me. So...
calories in a different state. Gone.
Well, road trip calories don't necessarily count. Anyway, so I do most of the driving, and it's hard sometimes to drive, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 hours by yourself. It's very exhausting. So my snack is not only good, but like, I don't know, it just makes a lot of sense. So mine are the Twizzlers pull-aparts or pull-and-peels, whatever they're called. Favorite snack, not only because it's good, but it keeps me occupied and keeps me awake. And anyway, it's just good. Like they're the best. Yeah. I'm not even kidding. I am so obsessed with them that literally last time I was on the road and driving for a long time, I pulled off the interstate. Went to a gas station, they didn't have them. Went to another gas station, they didn't have them. I ended up going to like 4 or 5 gas stations before I found a Pilot, and they had them.
You have to go to a travel center if you're looking for something like that. A Pilot, a Love's, any of these bigger gas stations.
Go to Walgreens and stock up from now on. But that's my favorite snack for sure. So what's yours?
I would hate it if Twizzlers representatives were listening to this and wanted to sponsor you. I mean, I can see the ad right now. Have a commercial and you could turn around and look at the camera and say, Twizzlers, pull apart from the competition. Bam. I just made $1 million right there.
Yeah, I'm expecting a phone call from Twizzlers tomorrow.
I'll send this clip to him. Twizzlers, holla.
Holla at your girl.
I think there's two.
Golf.
Yeah, holla, holla.
I'll be happy.
I think there are two key elements to a good road trip snack.
Okay.
One is obviously taste. You got to have something tasty. Two, you have to have something convenient. You have to be able to eat it while you drive. You have to be able to eat it and not be messy.
Okay.
So there's one answer for me as well. Beef jerky.
That's good.
I love a good bag of beef jerky.
Jerky's good.
Protein, it'll hold you. It'll hold you over if you don't want to stop and get food. It's easy to eat while you drive. And you feel like a real carnivore when you eat it. You're just ripping through meat. Ugh.
That's really good. That's a good healthy choice. And I'm pretty healthy.
Yeah, mine was healthier than you.
Yeah, it was a lot healthier than mine. I only have mine in the car on a long road trip.
Right. So absolutely. Count.
But that's good. What brand?
Jack Link's.
Teriyaki.
Jack Link's Holla.
Original.
Peppered teriyaki, original, sweet and spicy, honey barbecue, smoky. There's a lot.
It's never ending. Okay, well, next question has to do with food again. If you can only have one, only one. Now, I don't know, like, I'm going to say you can have one or the other. Not like this is the only place you can go for the rest of your life.
Right, right.
But you can only pick one. Dunkin' Donuts or Krispy Kreme? There's only one right answer. Only one right answer.
You can only have one. You can't go to the other place if you choose this one.
Yes.
I'm going to pick the place that makes me go nuts. Dunkin' Donuts.
Ooh, you are nuts.
Maybe so. But that menu, you have so many options.
That's like, okay, no.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter because when you have something so delicious like the Krispy Kreme Original Glazed Donut, why would you need anything else? You don't. You don't need anything else. You don't want anything.
You get tired of it.
No, I don't think you can ever get tired of it. I've never gotten tired of an Original Glazed Krispy Kreme Donut. Have I gotten tired of Dunkin' Donuts before? Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. I can't, sometimes I can't even finish one donut.
Don't be lying to the audience.
We don't lie on this podcast.
No, we don't. That's what I'm saying. Don't.
Well, let's just keep going because everyone listening knows the correct answer. It's Krispy Kreme. Yay.
Dunkin' Donuts.
No.
Ask Tom Brady which one he'd choose. Guarantee it's Dunkin' Donuts.
I guarantee you it's neither.
They're wicked awesome. Yeah, he's never eaten a strawberry. Whatever. Weirdo.
He's never eaten a strawberry?
No, look into it. It's really odd. So we talked about sports movies earlier. We'll get off the food discussion, get back to sports. This is a sports podcast, you know. If you could have the talent of any athlete or character or whatever from any sports movie, who are you choosing?
Happy Gilmore.
That actually does help your life a lot.
100%.
Would you use the hockey putter?
If it works. No, Happy Gilmore, because of how far he hits it, he bombs it.
That's what I'm saying. That actually does help your life.
Yeah. That's my answer.
Yeah. What's yours? Mine, I'm taking from a group of characters. What? I was going to say Henry Rowan Gardner, but I'm actually going to say the Monstars.
Yeah, that's a good one too.
They're ginormous. They can play basketball with the best of them. Mm-hmm. They're beating Michael Jordan 200 to nothing. Mike does illustrate a comeback.
Mm.
But I would take the talent of the Monstars in the first half of their championship
game. They lose.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, I know. That's
why I said the first half.
I know. I'm just messing with you. Yeah, that's pretty good. Okay. I like that.
Here's the Monstars.
Okay. Next question. We're going to keep it in the sports realm. What do you think? This is a little different question, but I think it's a good one. What do you think is the best sound in sports? In all of sports? Any sound. It can be anything. Anything you think of.
Huh. Best sound.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Think of all the sounds.
Oh, this is easy.
Okay.
This one, it kind of takes me back to when I was a kid. It takes me to my favorite places. It's the sound of a metal bat hitting a baseball.
Oh, yeah.
I spent countless weekends in general at a baseball field playing, countless weeknights growing up at a baseball field. College baseball is one of my favorites. Shout out the Vols 4-0 to start off the year. Proud of you. But hearing that ping of a metal bat making contact with the baseball is so pure. Mm-hmm. And it takes me to such a happy place that sound will never get old to me.
Wow.
I know, I got a little sentimental there.
A little bit. Mine kind of has the same, but not.
Oh.
I would say.
Well, then it's going to be a good answer.
Yeah. Mine would be the golf ball coming off of a driver that you just hit so pure. Like that you're just on track, man. You hit it 1.50 smash factor, and it's just perfect. That sounds
you don't even
so
have
good.
To look at it.
You don't even have to. But also, okay, when I pick a driver, obviously it has to have good numbers. I hit it good, blah, blah. It's got to go far, straight, all that. But I also, my driver has to look good, but it also has to sound good. Yeah, it has to sound good. If it doesn't have the right sound, I'm not going to get it. Like, do you remember the Sasquatch driver a long time ago?
The Nike Sasquatch and the King Cobra drivers from about that same time period were so loud and so obnoxious. I had one, and I'm sure everybody hated me for having one. But it just kind of, like, even if you did hit it good, you were still like, ooh, I hope nobody heard that, because that was really
loud. See, I don't like that. And then you have drivers that sound kind of dead, like there's not much sound. But then you find that driver that is just so pure. Anyway.
It's got that perfect mix of the little it's, ping.
Yeah, but a little pop to it. But it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Those are the ones that as soon as you make contact, it feels like you're not even making contact. And then you just kind of finish your follow through. Mm-hmm. If you're Tiger, you do a club twirl and you just pick up the tee because you're like, I know.
Yes.
I just murdered that ball.
That's right.
Those are good ones.
Yeah, those are good ones. I like that.
When you first asked the question, I kind of went with the generic, oh, do I say a basketball going through the net?
Yeah, golf ball hitting the cup. Generic. Yeah.
Yeah. Which that one could mean a great sound, especially for you.
That is. Who can
make money, but.
Yeah. True.
This one, last question, we'll get everybody out of here. This one's interesting as we're kind of moving through the seasons. Major temperature changes, especially here in the South.
Mm-hmm.
Would you rather constantly feel a little warm or constantly feel a little chilled? So this means when you wake up, when you go to bed.
That's hard. At any time. That's hard because right now my temperature is on like 73, 74.
Ugh.
I know. But then when I go to bed, I'll drop it to like 68, 69. So a little chilly.
Drop it low, girl.
I would say slightly cold. You can put a jacket on. Put socks on.
Couldn't agree more.
Good.
Could not agree more. I think getting in bed and feeling warm or hot.
You can't sleep.
Is the worst feeling in the world.
Yeah.
And this, I know I'm focusing just on being in bed, but if you're a little chilly and you pull those covers right up to your chin, oh, heaven.
Yeah. I would
agree. And like you said, you can always put a sweatshirt on, mm-hmm. put a nice pair of sweatpants, a winter cap if you desire, parka maybe.
I'm just glad we can agree on something.
I know. It's the first time in a long time.
Good end of the show.
Yeah. So it's, let's end there. We agreed. We actually are.
All is good with this.
On the same page.
Yeah.
I'm not going to scroll back up to see where you said that Air Bud was overrated. I'm not going to bring that up.
Or that you said Blindside. Well, that's okay, though. Or that you're hating on Phil Mickelson, but that's fine.
Well, that's nothing new. You should be used to that by now. Ooh. Also, this time next week, we'll be back for episode 6. But we will also be able to provide a recap for something very, very special and exciting for me. Next Tuesday night in Knoxville, Tyler Childers and Sergil Simpson are performing at the Civic Coliseum. Your boy's making the trip. I will be in attendance to see my all-time favorite Sergil Simpson perform. Tyler Childers, he's climbing the charts. I'm a really big fan of him, probably top 5 right now. As you listen to this, if you're going to that concert next Tuesday night, be sure to stop by, say hello. We'd love to meet you. And get ready for the recap next week.
Yay.
I am a huge fan of both. Sophia?
I am not, but...
Not so much.
Sometimes she's being it's about the sacrifices.
I was about to say, she's making a huge sacrifice for me, and I can't thank her enough for that, because if she had not gone, I would have just gone by myself to enjoy it. But really looking forward to that. Oh, I don't care. Like I said, Sergil's my all-time favorite.
We'll have a good time, though. I'm going to make him, just for this, I'm going to make him go to Taylor Swift with me.
All right. Well, on that sad note, I guess that'll do it for the night. No dad joke this week. I apologize to the people who crave it. I know you probably had withdrawals the past 2 weeks not having my dad jokes. put it off for one more week. I'll come back and deliver two or three next week. I promise you that. But thank you all for listening. We know that you guys have a lot to do, and to give us this hour of your time means a lot to both of us.
Yes, it does.
So thank you to everyone who listens.
Thank you.
Be sure to like and subscribe, Apple, iTunes, Spotify, all the major podcasting sites. We greatly appreciate your time, and we will catch you all next week.
See ya.
Peace.